2 Timothy, and we're going to begin with chapter 2, and there we're learning about a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And there is all the difference in the world between a good soldier, a mediocre soldier, and a bad soldier. I've had all kinds. When I was first sergeant, I had very good soldiers, mediocre, and then there were some bad soldiers. And perhaps we can relate that to our Christian life, because you and I are to be a soldier. And we're told in Ephesians chapter 6 that we're to put on all the armament that is needed for a good soldier. And if we put that on, then we will be dressed to do the work of a good soldier of the Lord. Now, when you're a soldier, you must be available. That's important. Now look, it says in verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus," as our brother has prayed. There's where our blessing is in Christ Jesus. So it would do you no good. It would do our United States of America no good if we have in our armed forces, I don't know what we have now, maybe 500,000 or something like that, but they would be of no value if they were not available. Suppose we were in trying times and we would call on the armed forces and no one were available. That is the way it is in our Christian lives, or so-called Christian lives. Whether it is a profession or a possession, only God knows. But I guess one of my brothers once said, you can be a fruit inspector. By their fruits ye shall know them. And we are not to judge whether someone is a Christian or not, but in 1 John it says if they practice these things, then it's very doubtful that they are a Christian. So you and I are to be soldiers. We're to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We cannot defeat a foe unless we are stronger than the foe. The Lord Jesus told us that. He said a strong man, when he has his house taken care of, when the enemy comes, he can take care of it. But if the strong man doesn't have his house taken care of, when the enemy comes, then he will be the stronger of the two. And this is what is happening in our Christian lives. And this is what is happening when people wanting to learn or not wanting to learn what it takes to be a good soldier. Now, when you go into the Army, and that's the only thing that I'm familiar with, I wasn't in the Navy. When you go into the Army, they train you to become a soldier, to fight the enemy. They train you, and that's what is called basic training. And this is one of the greatest fallacies in so-called Christendom today, is that we want to get people saved, but we don't want to teach them what they should learn after that they get saved, and that's the reason all these seats over here are empty.
Amen.
That's exactly why. Why all those seats are empty. Because people have not been taught what it is after that you become a Christian to be a soldier of in the army of the King of Kings. We stand up with gusto and sing, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war." Well, if the Christians in this land were marching as to war, they'd get whipped in a pretty good hurry if the Lord Jesus Christ weren't there to take care of them. We are no match for the world now, because we are not depending upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't realize, as our brother has prayed in his prayer, where our position is. It's in Christ Jesus. This is something that we need to do. And verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to" what kind of men?
Faithful
men. It's required of a steward that he be found how? Faithful. Now, those are the words of the Lord. These are the words of the Holy Spirit. These are the words that have been standing, and they are the words on which he wants you and wants me to stand. And he says, be to faithful men who shall be able to what? Teach others also. Now, you see, we are taught by the Holy Spirit, but God uses the medium of a man. He always has, and that's what he uses. He uses, and we should be thankful and feel humility in that. We should feel humble in that he would use us. But the problem is that we're denying the things of the Lord. Now, why are we denying? Now, if I were in the service, and back in the 40s when I was in the service, when you wore a uniform, oh, everybody was so proud of you. We were a soldier or in the armed forces. They were just as proud of the Navy and the Marines, and those the Air Corps was all part of the Army then. They were just as proud of them as they could be, because they were a soldier that was going to be able to fight for this great country. And so this is, it says that you must be able, in verse 3, to endure what? Hardness. You must be able to endure hardness. And he says, I want you to share my hardship. Now, how many of us are willing to share the hardship of the Apostle Paul? We are. You say, that's too far back in the distance. No, it isn't. He's right here before us in the person of the Holy Spirit. His writings are right here. Right here. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Now, when he wants us to fight for souls, and he wants us to what? Win. He wants us to win the battle. And we can. We can. We have the capacity to win the battle if we do it according to this book. But the moment we deviate from the book, then, my friend, we're in difficulties. Now, when we were in the last war, in the Korean War and the Vietnam War, they have soldiers have echelons, and you have a general, and then you have a colonel, and you have a major, and a captain, and a lieutenant, and so forth, clear down to a PFC, and the privates are under them. Each one is a higher echelon, and each one has to listen to the orders, as long as it's not a general. And then when it becomes a general, it's a command. We are to listen to the commands, because our generalship is the highest generalship that there ever could be or ever will be. Now notice, a good soldier of whom? Jesus Christ. You see, he's the general. And if he's a general, everything, every order that he gives then becomes a what? A command. He is a general officer, and I say that with all humility and all reverence. Now look in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, people like to have their ears tickled, and if that preacher doesn't preach just like they won't come to hear him. The Word of God either draws or drives away, one of the two. You know, that's what it does. Now, he says, No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. When you are in the military service, you don't concern yourself with the civilian activities. Many of you that have been in the service know you don't. And you see, when we're in the service of the Lord, the problem is today we're concerning ourselves too much with the activities of the secular life. Herman Lum once told Blanche, when we had kids, we took part in what we should do. And she was talking to him about all the activities. And he said to her, and Herman always gave us good advice. He was our father in the faith, both of us. He said, Blanche, you let the secular people take care of the PTA, the Little League, and all these things, those good projects. There's enough good moral people to take care of that. You take care of the things of the Lord. And that's good advice. You see, because no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a what? A fighter, a soldier, a defender. That's what he has done. And in connection with that, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, not verse 27, but verse 25. 1 Corinthians 9 and 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain the corruptible crown. That's those that are running in the worldly system. But he says, but we an incorruptible. We're wanting one that never disappears. And then you go on down to verse 27, and he tells us that it's necessary to keep this body under, because if we don't, we're in trouble. And then you may be put on the shelf, not be used of God. And a person who has the gift to be a teacher and an exhorter or one who admonishes, all these things, all these gifts, and they're all good and perfect gifts who come down from the Father above, and in him there's no variableness at all, James tells us. All these gifts are to be used, but if we don't keep our body under, the Lord can put us on a shelf and we won't be able to use them. And so we go back again to Galatians, where this same great apostle says, if you sell it, you're going to reap it. And this is something that is definitely a concern in our local assemblies today. And I don't know how many of you get milk and honey. It's a monthly paper that's put out by a group in Pennsylvania. It's real good. And we want to be called a church today. But you see, the church really is in heaven in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be called the church, and we're not. We're a group of people gathered together who are the church, gathered together in a place. Now, if you ask someone where the First Presbyterian Church is, and you'll say it's down on Park Avenue, it is not. There's a building down there where the Presbyterians meet. You see, that isn't the... If you ask someone where the Highland Park Methodist Church is, you say it's right back here. No, it isn't. Not unless the people that are saved and are meeting there, then it's there. You see, we take these things in the Bible and we flippantly use them. We don't listen to what God has to say, and then we wonder why he isn't blessing. Because we're not listening to what he has to say. Now listen, verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned unless he strives the way that the world says. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Is that the way that the Apostle Paul wrote it? That is not the way that he wrote it. It says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. We have to follow the Lord's rules. That is important. We cannot deviate one iota, because the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew's Gospel that there has to be every jot and every tittle completed in this word, and it will be. It has to be, and then he will come back again. In verse 6, the husbandman that looketh or laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. He says, work hard like a farmer. And I'm sure that some of you know what farm work is. It's hard. But, oh, it's nice to have the first fruits, isn't it? It's nice to be able to partake of them. Now, he says, consider what I say. And in the original, I think you would find that it says this. Consider what I say, and the Lord will give thee understanding in all things. Now, this Bible is a mystery. But it is not, as Peter says, we are not to be confounded. It is a mystery, but God reveals to those who want revelations. God does. Who want revelation, not to be exalted among men and be put on TV and all this rigmarole. That is not what I'm speaking about. But if we really want to know Him and the power of His resurrection, which Paul says in Philippians, if we want to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His what? Sufferings. If we want to know that, then we have to be able to be that kind of a soldier. We have to train to become that kind of a soldier. And when a soldier was trained and hardened, oh my, and the boys that we had in the Second World War, they didn't have to be toughened up. They were tough. They just needed to know how to kill. The American boys were tough at that time. I don't know if they are or not now, but I know then we were a tough bunch of people in the 1940s because we didn't have much, and you had to work for what you got even before you got in the Army. The Army was nicer than a lot of the homes that some of the boys had. So it says, consider what I say, and the Lord will give thee understanding in all things. Look at Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6. Proverbs, I'll just read it to you. You don't need to turn there. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6, and it says, for the Lord giveth what? Wisdom. We're not talking about knowledge now. We're talking about wisdom first. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Wisdom is smart that you have from God, and knowledge is what? To know how to use it. That's it. See, you can have knowledge and not be right, you see, without that wisdom. They're two different, entirely different things. So it says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now, what was Paul's gospel? The thing that got him in trouble. He said that Jesus Christ was God. That's what got him in trouble. He wouldn't. Now notice here, this was whenever you read of my gospel, when Paul spoke of that, he was saying, he was declaring, and this is what got him into Dutch with all the Jews, that he was declaring that Jesus Christ was God. Now look at the next verse. Wherein I suffer trouble. Now if he hadn't said Jesus Christ was God, and of course if he hadn't, have, Jesus couldn't have done all the things that Paul said he could do and did do through the Apostle Paul. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. The Jews thought he was really a crackpot. They really did, even under bond. But the Word of God is not bound. Aren't we glad of that? The Word of God is not shackled. It is not bound. It is able to release. It's able to redeem. It's able to convict. It's able to convert. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake. Now notice, I want you to see something here. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now, I want you to always remember this. A view of election which disobeys Matthew 28:19 is hopelessly wrong. When you hear someone say you were destined to be saved and you have no choice in the matter, that is not scriptural. God knows, God calls, but there's a free will of man. God is sovereign. And when you get people saved, Herman said maybe you could have them to turn around and look and see that they were called. But you'll never get people saved by preaching that you're elected to be saved and you're elected to be lost. God knows who, but that's God's business. But God has the whosoever wills in there a lot more than the election. Now let's just look right here. The elect's sake, is, as far as he's concerned, is Israel. They were the God's elect people. And so he says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus. And the Jews don't like to hear that. But they have to hear it if they're ever going to be saved. So, with eternal glory, oh, I wish that we had the concern of the Apostle Paul. What a concern he had. He said, it's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Turn back to Colossians there. I want you to turn this, only a couple books back, because Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3 and 4. Now this, my friend, is how God sees you. Don't forget this. This is how God sees you if you are saved. And it says in verse 3, for ye are, what's that next word?
Dead.
Doesn't say dead in trespasses and sins, does it? Doesn't, that's done with that. We were, now we are. We were dead, now we are dead. You see, that's, we were dead in trespasses and sin. Now we're dead to that. That has died out as far as God is concerned. But we are still in this body. Now listen, you know as well as you're sitting there, you have the capacity to sin, but you don't have to. It says, if a man sin in 1 John. It doesn't say when. You see, it says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And if our life is hid with Christ in God, as far as the new man is concerned, he can never sin. Do you know that? Do you know, as a Christian, the part of you that is born again, that part of you cannot sin? It's the part of you that is dead, and we don't reckon it dead, that gets us into trouble. That's the warfare that we have within us. So it says here, when Christ, look at verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And we have to be sinless if we're going to appear with him in the sense of this new birth. Now, we need to get this across. We have a new nature within us, but the old one, as far as God is concerned, is dead. And then we're told in Romans chapter 6, you reckon it dead. And if you don't reckon it dead, then you can't go back to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3, and that first word there in this terminology of the scripture should be since. And you know, if can have the same meaning here. But since ye be risen with Christ, it's already done. We're risen with Christ, resurrected. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the heavenly things. We are supported by heavenly things, he says, on things above, not on the things of the earth. And that's what gets us in trouble, because if we would set our affections upon the heavenly things, the new nature that is within us would be so overwhelming that Satan would have to flee. But he'll be back if you don't let the Word of God dwell richly within you. Now back to 2 Timothy, verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. In Revelation chapter 11, in verse 15, I believe it is, we'll see. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And we're going to reign with him. If we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. That's in services. That's the only way that we can deny him, in our service. Now, I thought you said worship became before service. It does. Now, don't get me wrong. Worship comes before that. But men have to see your service before they can see you worshiping. Now, God sees it the other way. God sees you worshiping, and then he will accept your service. Men see you, serving, and they will see through that your worship. But God knows the inside and also our outward doings, but men don't know that. If we believe not, now this is so wonderful, and it's a good place to stop as our time is gone. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. If our faith fails, he doesn't fail us. I'll go with you all the way, even unto the end. Don't ever forget that, my Christian friend. You don't have to ask God. I'm not correcting. I'm just expounding from the Word of God. You do not have to ask God to go with you, because if you do, you're praying for something that he's already said that is a reality. He said it. It's a reality. I will never leave you nor forsake you. We're told that in Matthew. We're told that in Hebrews. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's in us. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And if he didn't go with us, that seal would have to be broken, wouldn't it? He's with us. Now, being filled is something else. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. I think we are like we have in our automobiles. We run them down to about empty, and then we get concerned whether we're going to make it to the gas station. You've all been that way, haven't you? If you're out on the interstate, we're too trifling to stop when it's half full, and you're not so sure whether it's half full or half empty. You see, that's the problem. We're not, and it gets down there, and then we worry whether we're going to make it to the gas station. And that's what we do with the Holy Spirit. You see, we suppress him, and we can do that. We can quench him. We can do that. The Bible says for us not to do that, but we can. And then when it gets down to where he is about on the gauge, and I'm just using this for us to see, then the gauge is about empty. Then we think we should do something. But that is not what the Word of God says. It says, be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Then you can say, like the psalmist said in Psalm 23, my cup runneth over. Because that's the only way a cup can run over, if it's full. And that's the way our lives should be. Oh, how this great apostle, and in this book, this was the last one, and this was the one that he said he was going to be offered on Nero's chopping block, and he was wanting to give an example to these young people so that they would be able to fight the fight. They could be the soldiers. They could be the ones in the army of the King of Kings and do the things that he would bid them to do. And he wants us to be a good soldier, and we need to fight the fight that he gives us to fight. Let's sing another hymn and close. Number 541. We'll sing the first and last verses of this. 541 is your all on the altar. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest and be perfectly blessed until all on the altar you've laid. And who is our altar? The Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Standing as we sing, number 541.